Welcome to the Cosmic Channel, the podcast. I'm Maria Amuni, and I believe I'm here for a reason, and you are too. If you've been seeking answers about what your purpose and gifts are, how to co-create your reality and manifest abundance, you've tuned into the right frequency. The whole universe is in me, and it is in you too. Your cosmic ride back home begins right here, right now.
Our bodies, naturally, they do not crave unhealthy food all the time. No. It's not possible. If you're craving unhealthy food all the time, it's something that could be a sign of an unhealthy relationship with certain foods. And actually, there was an experiment where they put a buffet for people for 10 days, I think. And people first, they started having some of the unhealthy items. Like there was a table with food that's perceived as unhealthy, that's high in sugar and fat. And another table with food that is healthier, that's more natural, that's more real. And by the end of the 10 days, people were more gravitated towards the healthier table.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, yeah. I think everybody deep down, like I remember when I removed, well, when I reduced the amount of sugar I was having, suddenly I was craving things like broccoli, which I never craved in my whole entire life. But here I am like actually craving broccoli and green. And so it's like when you actually listen to your body and you're properly listening, you're going to notice that you're gravitating towards healthier foods anyway.
It's complete. Yeah. There's one voice that we have to mention as well, and it's the nurturer's voice. So in intuitive eating, the nurturer's voice is basically the soft, gentle, and kind voice. And it's like the voice of your mom or your best friend, maybe counselor, that tells you that it's okay, everything will be okay. And it's really like it works on creating that positive self-talk in your mind. And this is the voice that tries to replace all the destructive dieting voices.
It's a really important one for sure, because at the end of the day, food is nurturing. So we need the nourishment from our food. And so that's why like it's you have to start with your thoughts as well, nurturing your thoughts, nurturing the voice, and keep watering those seeds and thoughts and intentions versus the other ones.
Yeah, 100%. And it's also the voice that helps you celebrate your little victories. So maybe one day you connected to your hunger cues, you can say, I connected to my hunger cues, I'm proud of myself, I feel good. Or when I practice self-care, I feel better, I feel less stressed. So it's more like it's celebrating the little things that you're doing rather than just maybe looking at the things you're not doing and judging them.
Yes, I really like that. Another question I wanted to ask you was, are people even hungry nowadays? Because now we're going to be in quarantine for God knows how long. So we're going to be at home more. We're going to be having at least 3 meals a day. But the snacks maybe that we have in between or the amounts of food that we're making, is it actually because we're so hungry, or are we just filling ourselves up with food without the level of hunger that we should be having because we have too much stress?
It's personal to every person. But what I would say here is that it's important for us to know the difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger. Okay. And I'm going to give you a few hints for you to be able to understand the difference between the two. So basically, physical hunger is something that comes on gradually. So it's not, you're a bit hungry and then you're more hungry and then you're very hungry. Where emotional hunger is something that comes on very suddenly. So 1 minute you're not hungry, the second minute you're like, okay, I'm hungry. And in emotional hunger, you crave something in specific. So let's say I'm hungry, I want a pizza, I want a burger, I want ice cream. So it's very, very specific and you wouldn't be satisfied unless you have that thing that you're craving. In physical hunger, you can eat whatever is available because it's just your body wanting energy. With the physical hunger, when you're full, you will stop. And emotional hunger, even if you're full, you were not stuck, because the trigger was not hunger. The trigger is that emotion. So as long as this emotion is still there, you're going to still feel like you want to eat. There's a quote that I really like, and it's, when craving doesn't come from hunger, eating will never satisfy it. So here, it's just important for us to know the difference between emotional and physical hunger, because a lot of people don't know.
No.
They're like, okay, I'm hungry. Yeah. So you can use this as a guide to understand. And then if you're physically hungry, then you have to eat. Then your body is telling you, like, your cells need energy, and they're sending a message to your brain, and they're telling your brain, I need food. So it's totally fine for you to go and to eat. And if your trigger is not physical hunger, it's emotional hunger, then it's good for you to sit and understand your emotions. What am I feeling? Is it stress? Is it anxiety? Is it, I don't know, boredom? So it's important for us.
Is a big one too. Like, being heartbroken also leads to eating certain foods.
Yeah, definitely. So it's important for us to understand our feelings. And if we're not being able to do that on our own, we can maybe journal, we can talk to a friend, we can talk to a counselor or a therapist to really understand what is it that we're feeling now. And something, the third thing that we can do to basically limit, to understand emotional eating more, is to think about, what is it that I need now? What do I need? Is it food or is it something else? Do I need to rest? Do I need to breathe? Do I need to slow down? Do I need to talk to a friend? Am I craving connection? So it's really important to know what is the thing that you need, because food, at the end of the day, it's okay for us to eat emotionally occasionally, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change the way you feel.
Yeah.
It's not a constructive coping mechanism. It's a coping mechanism that we can use occasionally. It's fine. It's not like the end of the world, but it will not fix your issues. So it's important to find other coping mechanisms to our triggers that will actually make us feel better.
And I think it's really helpful, the things that you mentioned, for example, like calling a friend, slowing down, resting, meditating, journaling. Like, these are all probably better ways to cope with emotional eating. And I think it's also, like, for me at least, because I obviously also eat when I'm feeling emotional, and I crave chocolate a lot when I'm feeling emotional. And very rarely will I journal about it. I'm not gonna, but I know where it's coming from. Usually it's because I'm, like, craving affection, or I'm craving something different.
I think all of us, we go through a stage of our life where we feel, we eat emotionally, because at the end of the day, anxiety or stress or feeling sad or feeling tired or heartbroken, they're emotions that we are bound to experience at a certain point in our life, and it's completely normal. So it's just, a lot of times food is the only coping mechanisms that we know. But the thing about food is that, like I said, it's not going to change the way you feel.
Yes.
It's just going to make you feel good for a short period of time, and then your emotions are still going to be there.
Yes.
So it's good for us to explore different coping mechanisms as well.
Definitely. And I think during this time, we have the actual opportunity to slow down. We can take the time to reevaluate the relationship we have with food, to understand that we might be emotionally eating when we're opening up the fridge like 10 times a day because we're bored or we're anxious, and because, like, we just want to get out and we don't know when this is all going to end, you know, like, there's so many emotions arising. And for a lot of people, like, I've experienced anxiety growing up, so I feel like I've learned how to breathe through it a bit more. I'm not saying that I always manage to do it. Some days it's a lot easier, some days it's a lot harder. But for people that haven't experienced anxiety prior to this quarantine, because I know a lot of my friends are experiencing it for the very first time, because it's the first time where they have zero control of the situation. So food is going to be their space to feel okay, to feel cozy, to feel good within themselves. But it's like you said, it's going to be a very temporary satisfaction, unless maybe, like, you spend so much time making your food, and then you're sitting down and you're enjoying, like, all of the flavors, and it becomes like a whole experience versus like just binge eating on the chocolate or on the chips without that connection. You're just eating to stuff your face because you don't know what to do with your hands and you don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, I think what's really important here is to not to judge emotional eating. And as you said, for some people, it's something that they're experiencing for the first time. So it's super important to stay gentle and not to judge ourselves for eating emotionally, because this will take us to something that we call the emotional eating cycle. So let's say if you eat emotionally, you have the trigger, you eat emotionally, and then you start feeling guilty about it, you're going to eat more because guilt is an uncomfortable emotion as well. So you're going to have to eat also to reduce that, to numb that feeling, if we can say. And then when you eat more, you're going to feel bad and you're going to eat again. And it's a vicious cycle. So I think in emotional eating, not judging ourselves for eating emotionally is something that will also help us in reducing it and finding other coping mechanisms. Because intuitive eating, we always say it's okay for it to happen occasionally. It's normal. And sometimes it could be also like something that's not that negative and that can be also harmless for you. Because sometimes we eat emotionally because we want connection.
Yes.
Let's say if you're like going out, let's say Sunday morning, breakfast with the family, and you want to feel connected with everyone and be part of that group, then you might eat emotionally even if you're not hungry.
Yes, a lot of people have that. That's so true.
Yeah. And sometimes it really can be harmless. It can be something that's not affecting you negatively. So what I would recommend in this case is to actually do something that we call it just writing down the pros and cons of emotional eating, because it's not always bad. Okay, it's not always something that we have to label as negative or as bad. We can just see how is it affecting us. What are the pros of emotional eating for in my life, and what are the cons of emotional eating? So it could be that I'm being able to connect to my friends, I'm enjoying the flavor, these can be the pros. And sometimes there are no cons, and sometimes there are. Maybe it's like, I'm gaining weight, I'm feeling tired, I'm not comfortable, I'm maybe feeling bloated. So it's really good for each one of us to assess whether it's serving us or not serving us.
Definitely.
Because in some cases, it really can be harmless.
Yeah. As long as you're comfortable with crossing that boundary and being like, okay, I'm okay with that. Like, as long as there's that nurturing voice or the voice of the anthropologist that's deciding that that's good for you, and not the police voice that's like, oh no, you have to eat it to be accepted. Like for me, like if I take that kind of example, let's say I'm at breakfast with my family, I eat totally different from every single member of my family, right? Because I eat more plant-based. My dad and I used to share like a very deep relationship for food together. So like he always wants me to taste like all of the food that he's tasting. And so he's like, here, like have this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to, because the nurturing voice in my head knows that if I eat menushe, I'm gonna feel sick. And like wants to take care of me so that I don't feel sick. But at the same time, it's like I'm disappointing him and I'm losing that connection that I used to have before. And like it kind of just makes me feel like, yes, like obviously I want to still stay emotionally connected to him, but it's like you have to find a new medium to connect. And so maybe it's like not through food anymore, but it's through shared interests. Or, you know, this comes up for people that like do eat differently to others. Like, how can you connect with people through other mediums besides just food?
Yeah, definitely. There are so many ways, but here, like the example that you just shared is a great example of you weighing the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
So let's say the pros of you just eating what everyone around you is eating is just feeling that sense of connection. But the cons are that you're going to feel maybe like bloated and you're going to feel some pain after. So for you, you weighed the pros and the cons and you felt like, no, I'm going to take the decision. I'm going to take my responsibility of my decision because I want to feel good. And then you chose something that feels better for you.
Exactly.
And here it's, I feel like people around you should accept that as well. Accept your food choices and accept the boundaries that you're setting here. And at the same time, definitely finding other ways to connect is helpful if you're, if you feel like you're missing that connection.
I think so too. It's really nice. So like, if you could give us tips, how can we keep our good eating habits during this quarantine period? You know, we're at home more. And for some of us, like I said, we're always thinking about food and we keep opening up the fridge to grab something to eat. So what are like a few tips that you recommend to keep those eating habits?
I would say just be more like mindful of your food choices, of the triggers while you're eating, to try to differentiate between the emotional hunger and the physical hunger. And something that's super important is not to judge yourself no matter what you do. It's okay. Like, always have that nurturer voice that's like the kind and the compassionate voice that's telling you it's okay. It's something new that you're experiencing now. You're going through stress. Everything will be okay here. Let's say when you understand your triggers, maybe you can explore other coping mechanisms that are going to make you feel better. Because at the end of the day, your body does not need to eat all day. It needs a certain amount of energy. And if you're like removing all the other factors that affect your eating, like judgment, the triggers, the emotional triggers, that you're being able to cope with these emotions, then you're gonna be able to connect more to your hunger cues and your fullness cues. And finally, I would say that it really doesn't have to be perfect all the time, but progress that you're making throughout, and it's super important for us to see that progress and to celebrate it, because the more we celebrate these little victories, the more we're gonna do more of these victories. It's gonna push us forward a lot. So if anyone wants to go on that like journey of intuitive eating, then they can learn more about it.
Definitely. I love that idea. So if you don't follow Rula already, follow her on Instagram, get her course. If you're very interested in intuitive eating and how to get to know yourself better, ultimately this is all about like your own getting to know you at who you are, because food and your relationship to food is just another reflection of what's happening internally. It's really like being more self-aware.
You are the expert of your own body. Always remember that.
I really believe that. I think like, yes, doctors and therapists, everybody can help you and guide you, but ultimately you're your own best healer. You're the only one that knows you the best. You know how you feel, and you have to be honest with you, because nobody can take the responsibility besides you. Who else is going to be responsible for your own health? Nobody.
100%.
Yeah, and you said it in the very beginning, like it is a responsibility. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's so amazing. You're doing so many amazing things. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, honestly.
Thank you. This is my mission in life.
Yeah, let it be your mission in life. It's such an important mission, you know, like you see a lot of young women and men too, by the way, and not just young, like any age. This affects all age groups. It affects all genders. Doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Like, a lot of people have really difficult relationship with food. I would say most people have a very difficult relationship with food. You know, like calorie counting. There's so many ways.
Yeah. It's really sad, because I told you last time, the diet industry, it's an industry that gains $80 billion dollars a year. So there's a lot of marketing that's being done for us to feel less about ourselves, for us to feel that we need that. It's an industry that's like, the marketing for these programs is really affecting also our relationship with our bodies and ourselves and with food.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, $80 billion for just the diet industry is huge amounts of money. And you see it in the marketing of the packaging. You see it in the marketing on social media, or, you know, like, try this detox tea or eat this. And then it doesn't help when you have like big influencers promoting these types of stuff online, and it becomes a very vicious cycle where you don't know how to get off of that wheel of it's basically it's self-sabotage. When you have a bad relationship with food, ultimately you're just self-sabotaging yourself for being healthy, for making your own decisions, for feeling empowered. Because definitely if you don't have power over what it is that you're allowing into your, let's say, body, or yeah, if you say no to other people's expectations of what you should eat and you just eat for what you believe you should be eating, that doesn't mean that you should eat cake all the time or eat only green stuff all the time and that's what's going to make you good. There's that's the thing, again, being open to, I think it's experimentation also. Experimenting with different ways.
Because the two extremes are not human, you know? The two extremes are not like natural. The extreme where you're eating cake and sugar and fat every single day, and the extreme where you're eating only like healthy food, they're both not natural. So something in the middle, it's really everyone has their own balance. And our body has the ability to create that balance without us putting much effort. If we follow these, like the principles of intuitive eating, and there's something about intuitive eating that sometimes, like it pisses me off, because sometimes people think that intuitive eating is only about like just listening to your body. And yeah, I listened to my body. My body told me to drink 2 bottles of wine. No, it's not. It's not just that, because there are only 2 principles in intuitive eating that talk about you listening to your body, and it's honoring your hunger and feeling your fullness. But the 8 other principles, they're all about mindset work. They're all about like rejecting the diet mentality, understanding the voices in your head, being able to talk positively to yourself, respecting your body, the satisfaction factor, knowing what you love. For a lot of people, they forget what they love, what kind of food is satisfying for them, because they're always following other people's rules and they're always following diets. So they don't have the sense of, okay, this is satisfying for me, this is not satisfying for me. And yeah, so there are the 8 other principles are all about mindset work. And it's not just, yeah, I listen to my body tells me now I'm hungry, now I'm full. No, it values your emotional needs and it values your satisfaction and a lot of other things as well.
I really like that you mentioned that also, because a lot of people could be listening to this and being like, okay, what are they on about? Like, I am an intuitive eater. When I crave ice cream, I eat ice cream. Like, if I crave a burger, I eat a burger. But it's a lot more than that. You're actually becoming aware of those different voices that you mentioned at the beginning and being mindful about the hunger cues and about the fullness cues and about, like, a whole bunch of information that our body is sending to us constantly that we need to start becoming aware of.
Yeah, 100%.
I like it because you're inviting awareness into a whole different area of your life. And so you get to explore a whole other aspect of yourself, because food is obviously something that we all need to be eating and having. So it's not like,
yeah, it's just a different perspective for you to use food constructively, because food is there to make you feel satisfied, to give you pleasure, to give you energy, to nourish your body. And it's not here to just make you feel guilty and judge yourself and put unrealistic expectations on your body. So yeah, it just teaches you how to use food in a constructive way.
Yeah, which I think is amazing. It's so nice. And it was so good to talk to you and to learn so much from you. And I'm so glad that we met.
I'm so happy to be here, really. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you, honestly, for taking the time. I mean, I think like we all have a bit more time to be conversating like this, but it really helps to speak with, you know, like-minded people that have an important mission in life. And I hope that you keep going after your dharma in yogic terms, but like after your purpose, and know that like whatever it is that you're doing right now, that's fulfilling your purpose already. Like, you're never not fulfilling it. So
thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope we see
and thank you soon. Thank you for creating this space and for spreading like awareness and for spreading like positive and compassionate messages through your platform as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's part of my mission too. Like to just help to spread awareness on different topics. You know, I don't know everything about everything, obviously. Nobody does. So it's always nice to have different people come and speak about different things that they're very passionate about, to just kind of expand our minds and to just absorb information. Because the thing is, I think education is so important, and different types of information are important, just so that you have a clearer picture of, okay, how does everything work together? Because I think when you just listen to one thing, or you have one belief, or you have one theory about something, then you're not allowing anything new to come into your mind. And then there's never going to be any change or growth or transformation, because it's just stuck and stuck.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I hope we speak soon, and I'm going to keep looking for your posts and your stories. Honestly, they're so, so well made, and I love them. And I'm so, so
grateful. Stay here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Maria Mooney, and your cosmic ride has come to an end. You can follow the Cosmic Channel on Instagram or Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another cosmic conversation. In the meantime, may you be blessed, may you be healthy, and may you be happy, sending you boundless, boundless, boundless amounts of love.